Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo, ah, now, fucker. Tuned in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, you'll get knocked out cold fast. They're talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 138. UFC 265 is in the books. We had a big fight card weekend. I think there's no fights this weekend other than Bellator, PFL, and maybe another promotion. I'm not exactly sure. But great fights. I got to watch as much as I could. It was my sister's baby shower, so I got my training in for the day. Had to lose a little bit of weight for the wrestling tournament yesterday that we had at Hofstra University. The Long Island Heat wrestling tournament. Unfortunately, I took second. I've won it before. But I also won it in the proper weight class. I got to make sure I put that out there. The kid was good. Don't get me wrong. But there are weight classes for a reason. And I lost 2-1. Good match. He had some heavy pressure on top. I couldn't get out on bottom in the second period. 0-0 first period. Second round, second period, I couldn't get off the bottom. Third period, he gets out. But then he doesn't just get out. He gets a reversal. So then I finally get an escape. So then I end up losing 2-1. But good match. Tough kid. I'm excited for his future. He's a 157-pounder, All-American, returning All-American at Nassau University. So JUCO college, but young kid. And he's got a bright future. His dad told me that he wants to do MMA. I was like, shoot, man, this kid is a tank. He's strong. He's a good wrestler. And we all know one of the best bases to start with at MMA is obviously wrestling. And to learn how to punch and put your hips into it, that's going to be, I think, easy for a kid like that to make that transition. But I told his dad, I was like, definitely get your degree and definitely get as much experience and match time as you can through wrestling and those competitions. The ones that are free through school, you pay for it through school, but those are the ones that are free. Get as many matches as you can in before you make that transition and get all the experience you can get. Because once you make that jump, you make that jump. There's nothing wrong with taking amateur fights in between the seasons and stuff like that. So maybe the kid could do something like that. But tough kid, his last name was like Leath, L-E-A-T-H. I don't remember what the first name was. I believe it began with a G, Gavin or Gareth, something like that. But tough kid, tough match. My other two matches were really good. I ended up in two pins in the second and both in the second period. Crab Ride special. And the other one, I kind of just hit a suck back and kind of just grabbed the chin and pulled him back to his back. One was a really strong kid. The other one was strong too, but not as physically big. They were closer to the weight class. I weighed in at one. My weight class bracket was like 159 to 172. I weighed in at 160. I showed my weight, whatever. And I'm going to say that kid was on the heavier side of 170 cutting down. But again, fun match. And it was just good to get the competition in. We have Marab, who's never wrestled before, jump in a wrestling tournament, wins gold in the 150 to 160 pound weight class. He was like one of the bigger guys at that weight, and he did a great job not clasping, not causing any technicalities, just staying smart. We try to tell him to keep his hands under the arms, and it was like he got better throughout the day. The first kid, he just kind of tossed him a couple times, and eventually the kid just kind of just went to his back and he pinned him. Steve Lee, Dilemi, great matches. Chris Pereira, tough match. He wrestled well as well. We have Paul Ware. Chris actually hurt his ankle, so he had an injury default out. He tried to continue a couple of times. I was like, it's not worth it, man. So some heat off wrestling tournament, off-season wrestling tournament, we're not getting anything out of this. This is what's for fun for us to compete and stay active. That's all it was for. So we had, I think, 5 out of 6 guys medal. And a couple of the kids I coach at Unita High School, my previous students, they also wrestled. One of them won the whole thing. The other one was a round away from placing. But it was such a long day. Everything kind of started a little bit late, like 2 hours late. So we were kind of getting frustrated. Everyone was kind of hungry and getting a little bit like antsy and just kind of wanted to get out of there. But I'm glad I stayed, even though my stomach was starting to act crazy. I was getting like knifing pains. It was like weird. I guess because all the spicy food I ate last night and then the wrestling nerves all mixed in one, just didn't really sit too well. But other than that, before that, we had my sister's baby shower. She also got engaged, so congrats to those guys, Kareem and my sister Unique. She also has a baby on the way. I think they're due in October, if I remember correctly. We're just finishing up the basement at my mom's house, making it a livable space. So they have some comfort, and they can get started and be able to save some money before they, you know, spread their wings and go out on their own, you know. So that's what I can do as an older brother and a sibling, not even a sibling, a son to my mom and my sister and obviously her now fiance, Kareem. So just want to give them the best opportunity to have success. This way they can sock away some money and they can get off to a good start, you know. That's, I think that's what it's all about. Not repeating that revolving door. That's my ring. Somebody's at the door. I should have probably put that on vibrate. but we had a good time. It was good seeing my sister from Georgia, Simone. Good seeing my other sister, Sophia, a.k.a. Asset, coming back from Texas. She's still here. My twin sister's birthdays are tomorrow, actually. So it's a lot of birthdays, a lot of celebrating, and good thing I got to start training and get my feet back through the door, even though I'm not in the greatest of shape, but it's good to get. I only had a week of training. You know, that whole thing in Georgia, I don't count that because we barely trained. We taught pretty much the entire time. So to finally get half a week of training, this week should be a full week of training to get all that in, has been really good and helpful. To just kind of get the wheels turning again so that when we get into the training camp, we're not coming in there just pretty much with the empty gas tank. We want to make sure we're in a good position to build off of where we were in the last training camp and continue to go from there. And to say, like, to do those couple matches and not be as physically exhausted as I thought I would be, I think that says a lot. And I think I'm in a good spot already, you know. So let's just keep building, keep the momentum going so we can keep this UFC gold here in the States, and that's what we're trying to do, you know. Not let Peter Pan, Peanut Butter, Cheetah Pan get this belt back that he never deserved in the first place. So other than that, let's get into this. We got the UFC 265 fight card. We'll start with the main event. Obviously, Cyril Gane versus Derek Lewis. Man, what a fun fight. And I was watching this while I was at the baby shower on my phone, trying to do as best as I can to be present, but also catching the weight classes that matter to me, the Casey Kenny fight, the Jose Aldo fight, and obviously the main event, and of course, Chiesa. But this one impressed me the most for obvious reasons. To have a heavyweight that can move the way Cyril Gane can move, it's unreal, unprecedented. Like, I don't think there's anyone we can name off the top of our heads that can move like that at the heavyweight division who is ever that athletically gifted. Were light on your toes, could be in and out, could touch you up and get out of there. And when you do blitz forward, can get out of the way from those big shots that can put you to sleep. And Cyril Gane is that guy. And Gane is explosive, he's dangerous, powerful, but he's not like, I don't say he's not athletic, but I don't think he's Cyril Gane. It's just, it's a different style. And that's what intrigues me most about that fight. It's the power versus the agility, the footwork, and the fight IQ of a guy like Cyril Gane who knows where to touch, when to get out of the way, when to retreat, when to attack. And his finishing ability was spot on. He tagged Lewis after he hit him with that hard leg kick, waited, hit him again against the cage. And then from there, he just knew he was hurt, poured it on, ref stopped the fight. He looked great in the clinch whenever Derek Lewis got overzealous and tried to hit him with those bungalow punches and try to bang him up, as he said. He tied him up, double underhooks, pressed him against the cage, slowed the fight down, disengaged, looked for strikes, elbow off the brakes. Just clean kickboxing and super technical. And it's not a brawl. He's not going out there to take your head off, but he got the finish. He methodically broke him down from the first bell to the last bell when the ref pulled him off of him and told him to stop. And I think that's all you can ask for in a guy like that. Whether or not a guy like that could be a superstar, I know some people were talking about that. I don't know. He's fun. He seems like a very, very genuinely good dude. It's going to be huge for the country of Paris. In the States, I think he could be a polarizing figure. He's not like Ngannou, who's like a beast of a specimen, but he's still pretty put together. He's a big guy, and he could freaking fight, you know? So You know, he's not the trash talker. Ngannou's not a trash talker, but Ngannou is like has this scary appeal to him. You know what I mean? So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to say if he does win the belt and does beat his former trainer partner in Ngannou, how big of a superstar he can actually be. A fight with him and John Jones is huge. A fight with Ngannou and John Jones is huge. I don't know what they're going to do with these guys after they unify the belts, but I'm waiting for that one first, and that's going to be a banger. I do think when that matchup comes up, I really don't know who's going to win. That one is going to be a hard pick-and fight for me. I picked Lewis for this, not because of the skill set. I picked it because he's a dangerous dude, and I like Lewis. I know Lewis, you know? Sir Guy, I don't know him, but I know his skill set. I know this was a tough fight for Derek Lewis to win, and I knew Derek Lewis only needed one shot to land, but he didn't even get that opportunity to land any of those shots. And when he had him hurt, he didn't fear the power anymore, and he was okay with standing in the pocket, covering up from those big right hands, and then trading back and let him know, like, hey, man, like that aura of your invincibility, your destructive power in the first round is gone. We're in the third round now, and it's a completely different fight. You know, so congrats to Ciryl Gane and the country of France because they got themselves a serious contender. And not just a contender, a potential champion that could be a champion for a very, very long time. As long as no crazy accidents happen to him. Because obviously we know what happened with like Frank Mir. And we know the injuries with like Cain Velasquez. So these guys never had the opportunity to really fulfill their potential with Frank Mir having that motorcycle accident where his leg was pretty much destroyed and he had to come back from that. But he was never really, really like the same guy where he could have probably defended that belt 3-4 times before that injury happened, you know? So it's one of those things where you just never know what's going to happen in life. And that's why it's called life, you know? So we're going to see what happens and what happens with his career and how everything unfolds. But for now, Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane, title unification belt, that is going to be huge. I think they might make that fight happen before year's end. And that's going to be an exciting one. I think Ciryl Gane deserves some time off because he took that fight a month after he had just fought. Now, the next one, we have Jose Aldo versus Pedro Munhoz. Not much to be said about this other than Aldo looked like Aldo of old, vintage Aldo, super fast hands, nasty combination, ripping the body, sprinkling a couple of leg kicks here and there, which turned Pedro Munhoz a couple of times, banged him up pretty good. Pedro could never get off with his leg kicks because Aldo was doing a good job of just slightly checking and turning that calf, that shin into his calf, that shin into his shin, not his calf, that shin into his shin just slightly enough to do enough damage to kind of keep him from wanting to throw that kick over and over and over again like Pedro Munhoz does to everybody. So fascinating fight from a technical standpoint. I thought it would have been more of a rock'em sock'em robot fight. That was really what I thought. But Aldo didn't fight like that. Pedro couldn't fight like that. He didn't get the opportunity. Aldo staying super long with that jab. That jab is a serious weapon for Aldo. Aldo's reach looked a lot longer. He looked like the bigger guy in there. And he looked just as young and competitive as anybody else in this division in that fight. Obviously, the Chito Vera fight, he looked good too. But for some reason, it feels like three-round Aldo is a very, very dangerous guy, and I don't think a lot of people want those problems. Even for myself, I can openly say, like, three-round Aldo is a problem. That is a tough fight for me, you know? I would have to really try to force the wrestling and try to get that guy tired so I could slow him down. Otherwise, he's such a good eye for movement and timing with that jab and stepping in. You know, he does a good job with his kickboxing. You know, I could obviously try to make it a boring fight and really kickbox with him and pick my shots in his touch and go, and then it comes down to who landed a couple strikes more than the other. But that's not the type of fight I want to have. You know, if I fight him, I want to finish that guy. You know, that's what I want to do. But again, three round Aldo is a truly tough out for anybody, and I will say he's definitely easily a top five, top four contender in his weight class. And I do think he could potentially be a champ again. You know, and that's being open and honest about it, just based on that performance against a guy like Pedro Munhoz. Obviously, when he runs into a guy like Corey Sandhagen, who's got the reach advantage and can really push the cardio, a guy like Aldo might try to take him down and try to copy my blueprint for a guy like Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. But again, he's got to be able to sustain that pace. And if he's in a five-round fight, we all seen what has happened with Aldo in those five-round fights. Max Holloway, he looked brilliant those both those fights. But the fourth round, for some reason, it's like at the end of that third, he is just spent. In that fourth round, he just somehow, some way, he just starts to break. Same thing with Petey Yan. Fourth round, he starts to kind of just like break. Not, I don't want to say break, but just his offensive output just starts to dwindle. And he starts to take more punishment. And I feel like he's the type of guy, when he takes enough punishment, he's kind of like, all right, I'm good. That's what it seems like, just based on those fights that I've watched and that you guys watch. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what is next for him. I could see a potential fight with him, Rob Font, being that TJ Dillashaw is getting the surgery. Maybe him versus Sanhagen. So those two matchups could be very, very interesting. I don't know what they're going to look to do. But with TJ getting surgery, it makes it kind of changes the landscape a little bit. And then, of course, Jan and I, we have to settle our business in October and go from there. Big fights for Jose Aldo to win. Now, and again, this bantamweight division is something ridiculous, because there was like three other bantamweight fights on this card. And yeah, this is just what the bantamweights are doing these days. We're bringing the heat. Vicente Luque beats Michael Chiesa, Darce choke round one. Now, excuse me. Chiesa did a great job of using the lateral footwork. Got tripped up a bit where he got hit with that right hand, but I can't say it was like, oh, the right hand dropped him. Looked like he kind of like stumbled over his own feet fell down for a split second, got right back up. Lands a beautiful 1-2 right before that. I think it was before, pretty sure. But then after that, Luque hits him. Then he times a beautiful double leg takedown. Gets the double leg, starts threatening the back. Gets on the back, has one hook in, starts rushing the choke. Now, here's my problem. Even if Chiesa doesn't get that choke, which he didn't, I think he made a huge grappling error trying to force a Kimura that wasn't even on from the back. Usually, when you go for that Kimura tap, you use the Kimura trap and you try to attack the back. Usually, from my understanding of BJJ, whenever I use it, whenever I see the high-level guys in my gym use it, you have both hooks in first, and then you step over. Not when you're like falling off, then you try to latch on the arm and then try to, you just don't get the proper leverage to really step that other leg over the top. And Luque did a great job of keeping his hands together, blocking the foot from coming over and trapping his arm so he didn't get stuck in that inverted triangle into that armbar attack. And then from there, he was lazy with the get up, having both hands on the mat, and Luque was in a front headlock. Once a guy goes front headlock and you're on the mat, your hands always, 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 and I'm going to say it again, always should be attacking the fingers, not the wrists, not the forearm, the elbow. You should be attacking the fingers that are on your neck or chin. Don't let these guys hang out with these choking positions, because from there, only bad things are going to happen. And I've grappled with Chiesa, and I know he's a lot better than that. And I think it was just a mental lapse, almost like a deer in headlights, where he kind of froze for a split second, more like 2 seconds. Allow Luque to go from a front headlock, slide in the left hand, and then slide it over and transition into that Darce choke, and then pretty much sit to it. Chiesa should have been bridging, keeping the arms open, trying to push the hips away, but he kind of tried to come on top. Obviously, he got tight, so he went back. He kind of left the legs right there instead of extending and trying to create space for the carotid arteries, and kind of hung out in that position, kind of like just waited for the inevitable to happen, because that thing was tight. Luque was squeezing, and that's one of his best chokes. It seems like he gets that position. He finishes, guys, and he got the finish again in round one. Vicente Luque is a top contender now. Like, that was the win that he needed to really put him over that hump, and I think he's now in that position to potentially fight for a world title, which is fascinating because Gilbert Burns is still in the weight class. Kamaru Usman, all former teammates. So you got Usman, Burns, and Luque, all trained together, all 170 pounders now, because Gilbert Burns was 55, came up. And it's just interesting to see that Gilbert Burns fought Usman. He lost, came up short. Now you got Luque on the rise. You would think he's maybe a fight away, maybe a potential injury away, knock on wood for any of those guys in that division, that he could jump in there and get a title shot just based on the way he performs, the way he brings it, and the rivalry that he would have, that history. They could create more drama for another teammate, former teammate that used to train together, and now the guy left and blah, 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 Usman and Burns. You could say there's so much they can use for that storyline to sell that fight. And that could potentially happen, and it's going to be another weird situation. Well, at this point, it's probably not weird anymore because Usman's not training there anymore. But these guys are fighting friends. I don't know. It's weird for me because it's not a wrestling match. It's not a jiu-jitsu match. It's not a basketball game. It's not playing pool. You guys are fighting. You're fighting for brain cells. It's a little... You're fighting for money, but you're also fighting with brain cells on the line. So it's a little different the way I view fist fights, you know? Obviously, it's just a sport. We're competing. But at the same time, we're competing for something, the biggest competition thing, the ultimate thing that you can have on, I don't want to say display, but on the line, you know, so to speak. Now we have Tisha Torres, Angela Hill. Not going to lie, I kind of missed this fight because I was driving over and... I got to watch bits and pieces while trying to engage in the night of the baby shower. So I can't speak too much on the detail of this. But the third round, I got to see some of that, most of that. And it looked like Tisha Torres was pouring it on and was just a little bit more active. And she's now 2-0 against Angela Hill. So I think that rivalry is finally done and in the books. So I'm not sure what happens for Angela Hill from here. She's fought just about every single female in this division. She beat Yoder, and now she just lost to Torres. So that's a tough one. So she was on a 3-5 win streak, lost to Gadea Watterson, then beat Yoder, then lost to Tisha Torres. So she only really loses to the top-tier talents. I think Tisha Torres now on a 3-5 win streak, Hill, Hughes, and Van Buren. Sonya Dong versus Casey Kenney, tough fight, split decision. I didn't know which way this one was going to go. I do think the right guy won. I got to watch it again. I also got to watch the Aldo fight again. It was just a tough one, you know? And I got to watch the Vince Morales fight as well. So, I don't know. It's a tough fight. It's a tough situation. And obviously, whenever it's a split decision, it never sits well with anybody because if it was a different judge, a different night, someone else, the other guy could have won the fight. Or the other fighter could have won the fight, you know? So, a lot of good things from both guys. Casey Kenney, he's not the biggest bantamweight, but he pushes the pace, and I think that's what he does so well. He stays in these guys' face and gets you tired just by attrition of him using his durability and keeping that pressure, staying in your face the entire time and trying to break you if he can. And, of course, that southpaw makes things very difficult when he's throwing that left hand down the middle and, of course, when he's cracking those kicks to the body and to the calf. Sung Yedong is still... relatively young too. Both of these guys are relatively young. Kenny is what? Kenny is 30 years old. Oh yeah, Kenny's 30 years old, so he's a little bit older now at this point. And Song Yedong is 23. Now this next one, Rafael Fiziev versus Bobby Green. Fun fight. 30-27. The third round, very, very baffling how they can score that one for Fiziev. But you know, it's not saying that Bobby was gonna win the fight, obviously, but it's just stupid when guys get an easy decision or easy scoring round like that wrong. And it really scares me because when you have when you call it close, it makes it seem like it could go either way. But when you have a round where you could really tell who's winning the fight or winning the round and you score it the other way, it's like it kind of gives up all hope where when the rounds are close, it's kind of like maybe they just coin flipping and saying eeny, meeny, miny, mo. This fighter won that round, you know, so it really makes no sense to me sometimes. Fun fight. Bobby Green really tested Fiziev in this fight, I think. Made him miss a lot. I think he showed that he's human. I think he showed that he's good, but he still needs some work. I know he's a Tiger Muay Thai coach over there with Pedion and those guys. But phenomenal guy. I love watching him fight. I think he brings the heat every single time. He throws caution to win. That one moment where he was chasing Bobby Green with his hands down and his sticking his tongue out kind of thing was pretty funny. Fun fight. Like I said, Bobby Green brought it. He fought as well as Bobby Green can fight. Bobby Green's one of those tough dudes who's been around forever. And I think this was a real good fight, man, because a lot of people kind of counted Bobby Green out. I think the odds were like minus 350 or something like that for this guy, Fiziev. And I'm not saying it wasn't warranted, but damn, man, put a little respect on Bobby Green's name, you know? I'm not going to talk about all these other fights, but there are some really good ones. Johnny Munoz Jr., beautiful rear naked choke, takes his time, second round, gets the finish. Miles John, nasty knockout in the third round. The guy was a sitting duck. I really thought that would have happened in late in the first or even the second round because he was hurt from the first round with those calf kicks. I think it was a form of injury. I heard him talking with the corner that they were saying on the commentating. I think that's what they said. Don't quote me on that. But maybe it was a pre-existing injury why it only took a couple of kicks for him to be like that compromised that quickly and that badly. That looked like the stoking the mood. Manel Kapp, great finish over Ode Osborne. That flying knee literally came out of nowhere. The guy missed weight, though. I don't know why he was talking about bonuses. You miss weight, my guy. You can't get anything from that. But good fighter, tough dude. I don't know what's going to be next for him. But he is a bad dude at 125. If he can get his weight under control, he would be a big problem for a lot of people. And he speaks English, speaks Russian, and he's from Angola. I don't know where Angola is. I got to look that up. But it seems like he speaks like three or four languages, which is pretty wild and pretty impressive. And Jessica Penne, I will talk about this one a little bit because she hit a nasty armbar. And just the way she did it, took her time from the spider guard. I don't know why Carolina went to the ground with her. I don't know if she went to prove a point, but you know, sometimes you try to prove a point and it goes the complete opposite way of what you expected. GSP was one of the best guys in the world to do something like that, where he would fight you where you were strongest and beat you at your own game sometimes. And this was a fascinating one to see how that one unfolded. Because I thought Penne would have had a tougher challenge. Obviously, in the stand-up, Carolina, better fighter, clearly. And then some reason, for some strange reason, she gives her an opportunity by going to the ground with her and giving her the best chance that she had to win the fight. And once she tied her up good, mounted her a couple times from that S-mount position, looking for that armbar, rolling through, and eventually she got the finish. And it was a beautiful finish. And very, very slick and textbook when it comes to like just transitioning, keeping the arm trapped in the crook of that elbow so that you could really start to pry at that wrist and really start to leverage it down. And eventually that grip, there's only so long you can hold on to that for, you know, so. Good fight for her. Great way to get back in the win column. And I can imagine how emotional that must have been for her, especially being suspended for 4 years. She is 38 years old. So I can only imagine the emotions she was going through in a fight like that. And now that's a 2-fight win streak for her. Armbar finish over a former title challenger. And, of course, a split decision, the one right before that. You know, so good for her. Other than that, my DraftKings picks didn't do too well. Well, one did. I went 1-for-1. Obviously, Chiesa was my other one, and so don't hate me for that one. You know, sometimes things happen. Unfortunately, we didn't get the parlay bet, but we got one of them. That's why I like to make the one-off bets. You know, the parlay, sometimes it pays out really, really big, but for me, it's just not worth it. I just don't like to parlay this into that. It's like, I need bigger odds if you're going to make me do something like that, you know? Like, make it really, really worth my time and my money. But other than that, man, thank you guys for always tuning in. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Lord Spinning Backfist, baby. I'll see you guys later. Peace. Peace.
That's peace. That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.